I was in healthcare. I was a nurse. I worked in the operating room. I worked in labor and delivery. I was a director for the chaplains and interpreters. I mean, I did so many things in nursing. But do you know what? I didn't know a darn thing about multiple sclerosis. Didn't know anything about it. Hadn't come across people with it. I didn't start researching multiple sclerosis until I was diagnosed with it.
Everyone has a story to tell, and we invite you to join us for the Multiple Sclerosis Diagnosis Journey podcast and listen to these unique stories.
Greetings, and welcome to the MS Diagnosis Journey podcast. I'm your host, Laura Koloskowski, and with me today is Patty Solis.
Hi.
Well, you're here, I know, to share your diagnosis story of how you came to learn you had MS. So would you like to just jump in and tell us a little bit about maybe what symptoms you experienced and what got you started talking to doctors about what's wrong with me?
Well, I had a lot of physical symptoms ever since my early 20s, but I was always able to make an excuse for them. So, for example, when I had bilateral pins and needles in my legs, I thought, oh, I'm on my feet too much in the operating room. And when I had numbness to my left arm, I said, oh, you know, it's probably carpal tunnel. And when I had optic neuritis in one of my eyes, I thought, well, it's probably just that I have TMJ. I've been, you know, clutching my jaw too much and it's affected my eye. So I always had excuses for myself, although I did go to several doctors, but I always had excuses that I made up for myself about why things were happening.
Did you share those excuses with your medical team and kind of lead them down the wrong path in talking to them?
Well, when I had the optic neuritis and I went to the eye doctor, he said, your eyes look fine. I can't see anything wrong. And I said, okay, well, you know, I have been clutching my jaw a lot. So I was wondering if it was TMJ. So, you know, I did mention that. And when I was having TMI, when I was having trouble having stools, they wanted to send me to the guy that does the colonoscopies. I can't remember his name right now. And I was like, no, not interested in that. So I didn't do that. But when I did have a urine infection, I went to the urologist and they said, well, you know, you're probably just holding your urine in too long. So stop doing that. Okay. The pins and needles in my legs, they sent me for a lumbar MRI. And they said, oh, we see a little bit of a slip disc. So we can send you to pain management. And I was like, well, I'm not in pain. You know, I'm not going to go to pain management. So, you know, I did mention some of my symptoms, but it was kind of poo-pooed. And I didn't think it was poo-pooed. I just didn't agree with what they were saying. And so I'm going to do it my way kind of person. And so that was probably part of the problem too. But what really, really got to me when I really started taking things seriously is when I started having cognitive issues. I could be at a stop sign. This is how I would describe it to them. I could be at a stop sign and be happy as can be, and then drive and get to the next stop sign or stoplight and be crying, and then drive to the next stop sign or stoplight and be happy as can be. So there was that distinct change in my feelings. And I also noticed that I just started to become angrier. Things would just make me angry. And sometimes things would just make me cry. I was never a crier. And, you know, I'd do something and then I'd go into my office, lock the door, and just lay down on the floor and cry. And those were just very abnormal things for me. And I just started not being able to keep track of things and understand things. So one of the things that has really come forward to me with MS is that physical symptoms you can see. Physical symptoms, they can count. It's the invisible symptoms that are more difficult, but it was the invisible symptoms that came forth to me.
But you look so good, Patty. How could something be wrong with you if you look so good? And if we can't see it, I often say my MS would be much more, people would have much more empathy for what I go through with my MS if I broke my leg and had a cast on it, or there was some physical sign, some visual sign that people could see something really is wrong with you instead of having to listen to us. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And you actually just said something that just triggered me because I'm so sick of, but you look so good. I am so sick of hearing that, but you're probably sick of hearing that as well. So my primary career was a nurse. And one of the first tenets of nursing is first do no harm. And I was reaching the place that I couldn't stop myself from doing harm to others. So I had to withdraw from being a nurse. And that was so difficult for me because it was such a large part of my identity. But with that being said, I have to say that MS has also provided me with some gratitude. I now see things, I'm more empathetic. I have a better understanding of mental illness, the silent symptoms that you cannot see. I've always been very busy in my life. I've lived my life way too fast and way too early. I met my husband when I was 15. We were married when I was 16. I had my first baby when I was 16. And it just ran forward from there. By the time I was 32, I had earned my MSN, Master's of Science in Nursing, MBA, Master's of Business Administration, HCA, Healthcare Management. By the time I was 40, I was one of the top 40 under 40 in the Portland Business Journal. At 41, I had received my doctorate. I was a grandmother by the time I was 41. Actually, I started being a grandmother at the age of 36. So, you know, my life was just go, 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 go. And MS really caused me to slow down. And in a way, I'm grateful for that. I'm not saying a person should get MS to slow down, but I try to take the positive out of what the cards that have been dealt for me.
Oh my gosh, what a path to get to where you're at now. But I realized that I interrupted you on your whole diagnosis journey. So we got sidetracked, which is easy to do when we have MS. We
yes.
go, oh, look, there's a shiny object down this way. So yeah, your credentials are just stellar. And I run across a number of people in the medical field who say this was part of my identity. And all of a sudden, when I have MS, it causes me to reevaluate who I am and the lifestyle that I'm leading. So you were like sidelined from the operating room. You felt like you were doing harm. Was this before or after your diagnosis?
So everything was before my diagnosis, except for the emotional cognitive issues. And those are what really, really pushed me to start seeking help. And I went through so many doctors at that point. And, you know, one doctor, she said, well, I think you have, I thought it was, I was going through premenopause. And she took my labs and she's like, I think you're depressed. And I said, there have been times in my life when I should have been depressed. This isn't one of those times. And I remember crying, just bawling in the doctor's office and saying, there is something wrong with me, but I don't know what it is. There is something wrong, but I don't know what it is. And finally, I found a doctor. And she said, you know what? I don't know what's wrong with you either, but I'm going to send you to a neurologist. And that's when I was finally diagnosed. And before the neurologist walked out of the room, I said, okay, give it to me straight. What do you think? Because I thought I had cancer. I thought I was dying. And she said, I think you have MS. And I was like, oh, okay. I can deal with that. And so then she scheduled me for an MRI with and without contrast. And it turned out I had about 20 lesions on my brain. And I have some cervical lesions and some thoracic lesions. And, you know, when she was going over, you know, your diagnosis is there, you have MS. I remember saying to her, okay, give it to me straight. Do I have at least 5 years to live? And she said, of course you do. Of course you do. Now, my life isn't what it was, but I'm still here. And it's been approximately 10 years since I was diagnosed. I was 42 and I'll be 52 in a few days.
Yeah, well, I think as you say that, and it's kind of one of those questions I hear repeated a number of times in these interviews. Well, two things. One, it's not a brain tumor, so it's not cancer. A great sense of relief from many people who say, well, it's not cancer. I can live with whatever it is. And also, am I going to die? If it's MS, am I going to die? And that's a real common question too. So the lack of information out there about what MS is, what we know about multiple sclerosis and living with it, seems to not be disseminating out into the community, even though there's a million people in the United States who have this condition that they live with.
And you're absolutely right. I was in healthcare. You know, I was a nurse. I worked in the operating room. I worked in labor and delivery. I was a director for the chaplains and interpreters. I mean, I did so many things in nursing. But do you know what? I didn't know a darn thing about multiple sclerosis. Just didn't know anything about it. Hadn't come across people with it. And I didn't start researching multiple sclerosis until I was diagnosed with it. And then I was able to look back on my life and say, oh, I had that. Oh, I had that. And that's when it all came together. Now, I'm not grateful to have multiple sclerosis, but I'm grateful for the lessons it's brought me. But the lessons didn't come overnight. It took me probably 7 to 8 years to get where you're seeing me today. And I'm 2 years that I've been grateful and happy, but I went through that whole grieving process of anger and denial and all of that. And at one point I even became suicidal. And that's when I went to therapy, and the therapist was very good and sent me to a psychologist, because I said at one point, I've always been a black and white person, but now my black is getting darker and deeper. And so they sent me to a psychologist. And I have to say, the medications that I received helped tremendously. I was fighting with my husband. I can see why marriages sometimes fail, because I was just, one minute I'd be da-da-da-da-da, and the next minute I'd be screaming like a banshee at him. And thank goodness he's a very patient man. But it wasn't until I went to the psychologist and got on some of those meds that it was like, okay, you know, things evened out. And I became able to deal with life. But again, those are the sometimes unseen symptoms. Those are the unseen things that people with MS may not always be aware of.
Yeah, I say I'm never angry, but my husband would say something totally different. So yeah, I'm sure he does. So, well, Patty, this is just really fascinating to me, how even in the medical community, you pretty much are an example of what we talk about laughingly is hammers only see nails.
Exactly.
You know, you were a hammer, you were in the medical profession, and you didn't see that perhaps it was a screw or a rivet that needed fixed as opposed to the nails you were focused on. So would you have any advice for people who have symptoms that they're not understanding, that they suspect perhaps are MS, or people that are on their own journey with this diagnosis of multiple sclerosis?
One of the things I would say is to ask and talk to the people who are around you, because they sometimes see things that you are so deep into it that you don't see it. My husband shared with me that he started seeing changes in me probably 5 years before I did. So acknowledge the folks around you, because they know you the best. Your husbands, your wives, your daughters, your sons, your best friends, they know you better than the medical field. And they can sometimes see changes in you that others may not see, and even you may not see. And to listen to them, to hear them, if they say, I notice you're dragging your feet a little bit more, or, you seem to be angry a little bit more, or, you seem to be having trouble finding words a little bit more. Don't become angry with them. Go ahead and say, yourself.
I love that, because I have to say that I didn't really pursue my diagnosis of what was wrong with me, even though there was classic symptoms, until I took a nice walk around a local campus with my father and my sister. And my father went home and my mother picked up the phone and called me and said, "Your dad says you're slapping your foot when you walk. What's up with that?" Well, I just slapped my foot when I walk. And so that was the question. That was the outside observation that really lit that fire under me. Like, you're right. I have to admit that there's something different here that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. And those people that love you and care about you and see you every day can sometimes pick up on those things that you don't pick up yourself. It was really my husband going with me to the neurologist visit that I said, I've had this. And he would say, "Well, don't forget this." And I'm like, I couldn't see out of my eye for a while, but I think it was just TMJ because I was stressed out. I gave the neurologist my own reason, but the neurologist was smart enough to put all that together. But it was my husband who was with me at the neurologist visit to say, "Now don't forget this. Now don't forget that." Because he was able to put things together that I couldn't. So maybe that's another tip of advice, is to say, take a loved one with you that has seen you and can be your advocate when you're in the mire and you're in the middle of all this.
Because you were in the medical field, what kind of tests did you undergo for your diagnosis? Because we really haven't talked with other people about what did those tests beyond the simple MRI or LP look like for you?
The two tests that I had was the neurological assessment. And that's where she first said, "I think you have an MS in her head." She tested my reflexes and I was hyperreflexic and, all of those things. And then really, I just had an MRI with and without contrast. That's all it took. Because when they saw the 20 brain lesions, it was like, it's a done deal.
When you mentioned the neurologic test, that's the one that a lot of people get confused about because they don't understand the value of why are they having me touch my nose with my finger? Or why am I scraping my shin? And I don't know if you can speak to a little bit about the neurologic test from your perspective.
Well, the neurological test didn't surprise me because of my nursing background. I expected them. So, example, when they scrape my foot, and my toes curled. So I had clonus, and I'm like, huh, I have clonus. And when I had to touch my nose, you know, it's kind of like when you've been drinking and driving and you're impaired. And so I wasn't drunk, but I was impaired. And when they tested my reflexes, I'd seen hyperreflexia or too much reflexes in patients in labor and delivery, that something was wrong when their reflexes bounded like that. So I was like, oh, that's weird. You know, my reflexes are bounding. So those are the reasons some of those tests are done.
And I think a lot of people don't know or don't have the education to realize that every reflex in our body is mapped to someplace in our central nervous system, which is the superhighway to the brain. So it gives the neurologist really good cues. If you can't touch your finger to your nose and you look like you're impaired. Anyway,
I consider my brain as my computer. You know, I've been very computer literate for a long time. So like when a computer overheats, it doesn't run as well. When a computer wire is frayed, the messages aren't sent as well. So that was one of the things that my husband and I would say once I knew I had MS and I was getting ready to go through something or I was getting tired. I would say to my husband, my computer's getting ready to shut down. And that was our saying.
People who are listening to this, you are on the MS Diagnosis Journey podcast with Patty Solis. And she has given us a real clear message here of when the messages aren't clear to your brain and you think there's something wrong, please don't give up. Take a care partner along with you, someone who knows you well, and look for those answers because you deserve them. So thanks, Patty. Really appreciate your time and your willingness to so honestly and candidly share your journey with us. And I know a lot of people will benefit from hearing your story.
Thank you.